B-Pod Studios.
Baby, you know, ground beef is really a winner nowadays. Step by step. Manure goes for $2 million an acre. Manuel Lewis. He begged you with the dance floor. Faster, fast, faster, faster. He begged you with the dance floor. Yukos.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Who could forget the Faster Guy? What a true hero to humanity, the Faster Guy.
He graced us with his presence for about 6 or 7 months and then just like snapped and disintegrated like a Star Trek thing and warped to some other dimension. We're not quite sure where.
He was a shooting star.
He was.
Not long for this radio world.
Mm-mm.
But he was certainly a star. Well, he was around. My goodness gracious.
He was like a
faster guy.
The faster guy was a dude that I remember when I met him. He was it was like after a Red Sox game, and I'm over at Lansdowne, and you know, about like 30, 45 minutes after the game, the crowds have finally thinned out a little bit, and all that's really left is bucket guy, the guy playing the buckets,
right,
and a couple of stragglers trying to, you know, get into some of the bars. But then there was a dude who wasn't anywhere near a bucket guy, anywhere near one of the street musicians, who was just dancing on his own with a big Wendy's cup and like a hat that had, oh man, I think it was like a bedazzled Bruins hat, which was strange, but it was like a guy, and he's just like hanging out, and he just like held this cup, and I said, I don't know what this guy's story is, but something tells me he has a lot to say. And sure enough, that's where we got the faster guy from.
And real nice eggs.
And he was only around for, I mean, as I said, about like 6 months. And then he just disappeared, completely disappeared. And he gave us such great gems, such as...
I don't think anyone ever invented the computer without finding a computer first somewhere in the woods or somewhere deep in the city or somewhere deep in the ocean or up in the mountain or something, you know.
It's true. That's how, you know, Wozniak and Jobs, they ended up just finding one at the bottom of the ocean. And
it's funny, when I was in rehab, there was a guy who didn't talk, like, he didn't say the same kind of things as Faster Guy, but his voice sounded exactly like the Faster Guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sorry, I keep yawning. Like,
ninja suit.
Like every time he talked, I was like, I don't know what the faster guy looks like. So like the whole time I was like, I wonder if this is like the faster guy, like who's back to reality. Like this, I wonder if this is the faster guy.
Somebody scooped him up.
Beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah. Like, see you.
Like he was just going through something like when Fritch was talking to him.
Yeah. I get it.
Because, I don't think the faster guy was, well, I mean, we didn't know, but you weren't under the impression that he was definitely, like, homeless.
No. There was, no, that didn't seem to be the case. He just was an interesting guy, and I don't know quite what his deal was, but, you know, for a while, he was just sticking around, and like, you know, we would talk to him, and he was...
It's not the curveball, it's not the sinker ball. It's the fastball.
And everything was about being faster. Like all of that. It was very strange.
Well, the first time you talked to him, everything was about being faster.
Oh, yeah. Like, right.
Hence the faster guy.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the actual phrase was that just was the very first time when it was like...
nice and fast. That's the way you do it nowadays.
Okay, just everything was about being fast and faster.
And about nowadays.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, like he's like, you know, not like before. Nowadays, you know, ground beef is the winner.
Sure, of course it is. You know, and you know, he was like,
I just think the word fancy.
He just thinks about the word fancy a lot.
Right.
Yeah, I might have to go back into the archives and just kind of rediscover like that first introduction to the faster guy, because I don't remember. I just remember he was talking about, you know, how to win, because we're talking about the Red Sox at first, and it was about how to win and everything needs to be faster, but it just, yes. He was obsessed with speed.
Yes.
It was very strange.
And no, but he didn't say speed. Faster. Like, fast. Yeah. Like, everything was fast.
And, are you switch grip or are you low grip?
Are you low grip? Do you switch grip? Yeah, he was
but a... pound for pound, mm-hmm. The faster guy is the best guy that... that you guys have ever found on the street.
Chili Guy's the best, but Faster Guy's like a close second. I mean, he's a close second.
No, I said pound for pound. Chili Guy, I mean, we got our fair share of the Chili Guy. Like, the Chili Guy, we explored the Chili Guy. We took that to really as far as you could take it.
Well, we did an episode of 24. Remember when that show was big? Yes. And Adolfo spent 24 hours with the Chili Guy. We had the countdown and everything. Oh, it was great. Jesus.
There were also Chili...
I can't imagine that.
There were also Chili Guys, like, where he was just like... And, like, and you were like, all right. The Chili Guy's not into it today. Yeah. Faster Guy always had something to say.
Oh, yeah.
Teleport all over the world is really one of the finer selections.
Teleport all over the world, you know, of course.
Like he said things, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? No, but the Chili Guy was the original.
Yes.
And the, but, you know, everyone and their mother has met the Chili Guy. The guy is very elusive.
You couldn't miss the Chili Guy. Like, the Chili Guy you heard from, like, a block away when you were approaching Lansdowne. Like, you'd be walking over, and he used to hang out right in front of Game On, and everyone knew the Chili Guy. And his voice was just, it was so, what's the word? Like, nobody else sounded like the Chili Guy. Nobody did. Nobody talked like him. Nobody sounded like him. Distinctive. Yeah, it was the most distinctive voice.
Yeah, you couldn't miss the Chili Guy was always there.
Yeah.
I mean, I even took him into 7-Eleven for Red Drink.
Oh, the Red Drink at Pizza House.
Yeah, I mean, I even have bought him Red Drink before.
Like, he loves Red Drink. That was his favorite.
Yeah. And it's not easy for him. It wasn't easy for him to get down the aisle of a 7-Eleven because he had a couple layers of clothes on, if you recall.
Every time I get ice cream, I always go, two Bundys for the boss.
Oh, that's right. I remember that one.
He bought Adolfo ice cream. It was like two Bundys for the buck.
The more you give McDonald's money, the better McDonald's becomes.
He's right about that. That should actually be their new tagline. Put that in the commercial.
But I contend that maybe that was a little insider trading because he was very invested in ground beef.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that maybe was his strategy to get you to give more money to the ground beef providers of McDonald's. Because, you know, ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Of course it is.
That was his investment advice.
Yeah, he was a guy who said some interesting things. He was also obsessed with Macho Man Randy Savage.
I always like to keep my favorite snack handy. Need a little excitement?
Ooh, yeah. Step into a Slim Jam.
Step into a Slim Jam. Oh, yeah.
He's a big fan. He liked he liked the wrestling.
The faster guy was in that? I just thought it was all the Macho Man.
Sure.
Chrysler Building. You got Dwayne Reddy. You got Empire State. You got New Jersey Cross. You know, that's always worth it.
Okay. He's talking about travel to New York, I guess.
Well, he has a very... He's has a accent of... Like a Midwestern accent, almost. Like a regional accent. Like, there's... No, I don't think he was from Boston. He might have just... He might have just been, you know... Again, just coming through to dance in front of Fenway a little bit.
Abraham... Alexander... Theodore.
Those were presidents and chipmunks.
I'm looking at some of the names of some of these clips, and they're just like, just nonsense.
Well,
like,
he talked nonsense. That's why he was so funny.
He's a very interesting man. Do you remember, like, what was the scariest thing about Freddy Krueger? Anyway, his hat. I think he went to a. I think he reviewed the remake of the Nightmare on Elm Street. So what was the scariest part of his hat? That just for some reason makes me laugh.
Well, I mean, there's a reason Freddy Krueger was wearing a hat. I mean,
yeah. It's kind of terrifying.
To,
sure.
To add to the his ominous nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I miss the faster guy very, very much. And I remember just when we couldn't find him anymore, the intense disappointment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He just went away. Like,
remember when we gave Chili Guy his cell phone and he just threw it over the fence?
Well that's so that's another. I quote Chili Guy all the time. And so we gave him one so we could, you know, call him and he could call us. He's called the station before. But we wanted to give him a phone. So we got him one of those ones where you can just buy a plan and he could keep it. It was that way we keep in touch with him. And we gave it to him and he goes, he takes it. And the second we handed it to him, he threw it like over this like fence. He goes, "Wee! Over the fence she goes." Like, that's what he said to him. So he just took it. Like, it didn't even think. He wasn't even going to think about keeping up this phone. I handed it to him, and he goes, "Wee! Over the fence she goes." We just spent like $50 or something. And it wasn't expensive.
But if you but handed it like, remember when we gave him all that money and he was like,
"Oh no, yeah, he jumped on top of me. We were going to give him like a bunch of money and he wouldn't wait for me to like hand it to him. I was taking it out of my pocket and he jumped on top of me and all of these people are walking by Lance and not doing anything and this giant guy's on top of me and I'm like, "You can have it. It's yours." And he had it in his hand and he wouldn't get off of me. I was like, "Whoa." Because we were like, "Here, man, here you go. This is like you're you know, obviously the people love you. Here, have some money." And like, I couldn't even get it out of my pocket, and he jumped on top of me, and I'm like, it might have lasted like a full long 30 seconds where he was lying on top of me on the sidewalk.
Yeah, he remember when we did the very chilly Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we had Pete listeners like drop off stuff for Chili Guy. We like brought it all out to him, and he like didn't want
anything. I don't want it. No, go away. I don't want any of this. He didn't say away. He just didn't want any of the stuff. He didn't like, you know. He didn't want it. Mm-hmm.
You know how they say they like, you know, give guys like socks and stuff? No, he didn't. The Chili Guy was perfectly happy with the socks he had.
He didn't want anything.
He didn't want anything except money.
He made that noise. Hana, Hana, Hana. Oh, Hana, Hana. I still remember that sound. Oh, Hana, Hana.
Jimmy, I don't know.
The faster guy named Dwayne Reed as a store, as a reason to visit New York. Yes. The nice drug stores they have there, yes. That's where he didn't say that.
All right. Well, there you go. The Chili Guy, unfortunately, no longer with us, and the faster guy, like a meteor, not long for Boston. He he went along his way wherever guys like the faster go to spread joy to other places. He was just dancing.
My favorite location hike is Fenway, South Station, Back Bay, and North Station.
That's right. It's the hiking, good hiking spots.
No, I mean, they are. I mean, you got to figure he covered a lot of ground.
He did.
All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Oh, man. Yesterday, not only did we have a total melee, actually multiple melees at Patriots practice, but, John, it looks like your team's going on an end-of-the-season run.
That's right.
Heading right to the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. What an impressive sweep. All right.
Almost. Got one more. Not quite a sweep yet.
So it worked to do, Fred. Yeah,
oh, nice. I apologize. You know, I'm not working tomorrow, so it's over. The series is over last night. Yeah. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
All right. We are Toucher and Rich, and Rich, what happened yesterday?
Well, look out, John. Your boys are on the road to postseason glory.
Once again, a 3-2 pitch. And it is outside. He went to a slider there, and he missed a walk and a run. That'll bring in Verdugo, and the Red Sox tack on another on top 5-2.
Never really did want to challenge him that whole at bat. It's kind of frightening, you know. Royo stings one right before. He didn't want to get burnt, and he didn't.
The old bases-loaded walk. That is Nesson, and that is the sound of the Red Sox winning their fifth out of their last six games, making a blistering, dare I say, blistering end-of-the-season run towards the postseason. 8-3, the final score of the Pirates. Back at 500, baby. And much of that success yesterday, thanks to Alex Verdugo. He reached base five times, going 3-for-3 with a pair of walks and two runs scored. And, you know, this is one of those situations where you can definitely tell that, you know, X on it, saying that it's a hodgepodge of nothingness, that Pittsburgh team. Not very good at all, but Alex Cora had this to say.
It's not always about hitting ball hard or getting hits. You know, we walk today, you know, seven walks. You know, we haven't done that in a while. When you start controlling the zone, good things are gonna happen. We kind of joke around, like, if you don't feel good at the plate where you swing less, you know, instead of swing more. And we actually did a good job today on 3-2 counts, you know, staying above, away from the edges. And it was a all around a good baseball game.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Well, meanwhile, this happened in the division last night as well.
Swung on, hit in the air to right, toward the line. That ball is gonna be gone. It's a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam to win the game. It's a grand slam. That's Josh, by gosh, and doing it with a notch. A grand slam, and the Yankees get a win. Oh, did they need that win? Wow.
Well, the Yankees, who have straight up sucked for the last month, won last night for the third time in their last 14 games. Thank goodness they had that million game lead. But the guy, Josh Donaldson, right there, by gosh, with panache, he was in a 3-for-28 slump. But the good news for Red Sox fans is that it was the Rays that the Yankees beat. So that moves the Red Sox one game closer to the playoffs, John.
Four games out, still three teams in front of them for that last wild card spot, at 500. You know what we do to teams that we look at and see they're right at 500 and in last place of the division? Count them out. So good for the Red Sox. They gained the game.
Although everybody makes the playoffs nowadays, the way that everything's set up. So
well,
who knows?
You know what? That
no, not the Red Sox.
I'm just going to say that speaks to how bad the Red Sox are. If everyone makes the playoffs and they still have three teams in front of them for a spot.
You know what's a shame is that, I mean, obviously, if you know, there's a school of thought that if the Red Sox would have made some of these moves, like bringing in Hosmer earlier and Pham, you know, that this is something that maybe that awful stretch that they went through could have been somewhat prevented. Do you buy that, John? Because that's what a lot of people are saying. If this team was the team all season long, then, man, they could really make a run and, you know, make some noise out here.
Yeah, but also, deals like that aren't usually done.
Well, Hosmer, you couldn't have gotten, because Hosmer, that exactly. was like a last second deal right. where when that trade happened, he's like, well, I'm using my no trade clause. I'm not going to go there.
And like, so, Tommy Pham, that deal isn't usually done in June. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like that.
You got him when you got him for nothing because it was right at the deadline. And Cincinnati's like, well, we suck. There's no reason to have a veteran outfielder that can get streaky play left field. Let's bring up younger guys. They got those two guys for nothing. Nothing! Because that's what Chaim Bloom does. You couldn't, and I agree with Fred, you couldn't have got those two guys for nothing a month earlier. And even if you did get both of them earlier and you decided you wanted to spend some capital to get them, there are no guarantees that Pham would be hitting like this. Fred, of course, has a lot more knowledge about Pham than the rest of us. I mean, he can streaky the other way. I mean, he could be awful in June.
Well, what's Pham's war? Like, I mean, if you took Hosmer and Pham's war, are they worth three games? Like, would you be three games better if you had Hosmer and Pham?
Just defensively, yes. Like, if you think, like, look at, like, Hosmer, a guy who can actually play some defense, and just how bad, Franchi Cordero was, and Dahlbeck. Like, yep. I mean, just having I think that Dahlbeck might have cost that team three games with his awful defense during that time.
Maybe.
It was one awful, like, low light after low light after low light. So, maybe, Fred. But to your point, is correct, and I understand, but three games might be about what you're looking at there. But hey, how many games out of the playoffs are they right now, John? Four. Nipping at the
four
heels
games
if they
out of the
made
playoffs.
But yeah, three games ahead of them, and Tampa Bay's playing very well.
That's right. You have to play Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Baltimore all within the next 2 weeks. So once again, we'll see where they are when they play teams that are better than them.
You know what? I hear people talking about, you know, whether or not they can get in and make the playoffs. And isn't it really just all smoke and mirrors? Because this isn't a situation where, you know, like in some sports, all you got to do is get in and then anything could happen. They're not good enough. Even if they're one of the half of the teams that makes the playoff in the league, like, they're not going to do anything once they get there. The talent's
something
just
I've
not
been
there.
Telling you for the better part of 2 months. Yes.
But I agree
ever
with
since
you.
The yeah. end of ever since the end of June and they yeah. started losing. I've been telling you this. They're not good enough. Even if Sale somehow magically was healthy.
No.
That's one pitcher. And then you have to worry about the bullpen. I mean, they're not good enough. Not close.
No. Well, the Sox, they won their series against Pittsburgh, but they go for the sweep tonight. First pitch is going to be at 7:10. At least they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're beating up on bad teams like they didn't do with the Royals, right? A couple of weeks ago.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. You thought that would have been a perfect time to catch up, you know, make up some ground, but that's not the way it works.
That's what 500 teams do, Rich.
That's true.
Exactly what 500 teams do. They win a few against teams they should beat, and they lose a few against teams they should beat.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Celtics, their schedule was released yesterday, and man, national TV loves these guys. They're going to be almost half of their games are going to be nationally televised, which, I mean, they during the regular season, most of the time, don't you get a choice between NBC Sports Boston and watching the national broadcast? It's about like half of the national broadcast, right? So obviously you always want to choose Gorman. But I mean, this is I can't remember the last time this happened. 37 times in 82 games, they're going to be on national TV. 5 on ABC, 9 on TNT, 11 on ESPN, and 12 on NBA TV. On top of that, this is probably my favorite
NBA
part of
TV counts?
Yeah, I guess so. No, it doesn't count.
The first three you mentioned, I will say yes. I'm calling BS on NBA
TV.
Yeah,
I don't think that's an exclusive. No.
No.
I think on NBA TV, they just have, like, the play-by-play guys just talking. They're not even watching the game.
NBA TV simulcast a local feed or something.
That's not a nationally broadcast game.
Well, technically it is. So there you go. But this is pretty cool because this was a fun day. Now, I've never done the back-to-back, but I know a lot of people who have. But after a five-year absence, the traditional day after Thanksgiving doubleheader is indeed back at the Garden. That's going to be awesome. November 25th, the Bruins are going to host the Hurricanes at 1 o'clock, and then the Celtics have the Kings at 8 o'clock that evening, too. I always like watching that, you know, time-elapsed bull gang thing that they do when they, you know, take the ice off and put the parquet on the floor. But a seven-game homestand for the Celtics over the final 17 days of December is their longest in Boston in 43 years. So there's going to be plenty of time for you to see those guys in person at the end of this year. The Celtics play in Los Angeles on December 13th, and then they don't play on the road again until January 1st in Denver. So that'll be a nice little run there. And on top of that, we've mentioned they're going to be the very first game of the NBA season against the 76ers. That is at home as well. So the schedule, they're getting a lot of respect, which hopefully means pressure. Like, I want these guys to feel like they've got pressure to perform, and that when you're on the national stage, you can't embarrass yourself. I don't want any slow starts, obviously, like last year. I don't mind when a team is put in the spotlight that way, because hopefully, you know how it is. I mean, there was, you know, playoff Rondo. He was always better when he was on national TV, and maybe that will be the case with these guys this season. I think Vegas still has them as the team with the biggest win total of any other team in the NBA. I could be wrong about that, but I thought I saw that they had the highest win-loss total.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the over-under was like 54.5 or something like that. But we'll get the bankroll boys in. I'm sure they know. But it just it seems – last I checked, I think you're right.
Yeah, so it should be an interesting season. I do like that Thanksgiving back-to-back. I've never done both. Have you got any of you guys ever done the both before?
No, ridiculous.
No. Yeah, that is insane.
Actually, first Celtics game I ever did was the Celtics playing first in the afternoon the day after Thanksgiving. And then when I finished, you saw the Bull Gang, you know, take all the parquet off and put up the boards. So
yeah. I bet it's easier this way. All right. Well, we will get to the melees that happened, including many longtime reporters saying they have never seen a Bill Belichick coach team this undisciplined. Even Mike Reese lost it yesterday.
I doubt that.
I'll play you the clip.
He lost it. He
fell off the box that he has to stand on.
He lost the player. He got angry. He visibly angry on television.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he started throwing crap. He punched a person.
In the knee.
Right? Okay. You said that. I didn't, you meanie. But no, for Mike, by Mike Reese standards, this is about as...
I didn't see
scathing
this, but all right.
A report for the okay. Patriots I've ever heard. So.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah, we'll play it for you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, I mean, what do you think? Rich is just teasing it without having the goods.
Okay.
I mean, Mike Reese is gonna. I mean, listen.
He's gonna light everybody up. Okay.
By Mike Reese standards, I would say yes.
All right.
It just he has to stand on a box to interview players, which is very funny. Because, like, Dale Arnold really doesn't have to stand on a box. Like, he's standing on that box due to vanity. He would be above the desk. I mean, he could stand there. Like, right? Like,
yes.
that's just vanity.
You can see
but
over
Mike Reese, it's necessity. It's a stepladder, not a box, by the way. It's like what, like, old ladies use to reach the shelves to get cans. All right. We will have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
This really feels like a big-time radio show.
Torture and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going down?
Well, the second day of joint practices brought the chaos.
And now here comes another fight.
Jesus,
another major
Christmas.
Fight. It's happening right in front of the stands.
These guys are a-holes, man.
It's going to involve...
Get these clowns out of here.
Oh, they're right up against the stands.
And all I want to do is fight. This is unreal. I've never seen anything like this.
Yes.
Players are coming from the other field
and
now.
And again, all the players from
Here come the opposite
field.
Look at the linemen go.
Are now running in.
This is like cattle.
Woo! Let's go!
Look at the linemen!
Woo! On the first day, there were fights. On the second day, even more fights. And what some veteran reporters were calling something they've never seen before in a Belichick camp, a complete lack of discipline. Things got hairy in the first fight when Christian Wilkerson was crushed and injured from a blindside hit from Carolina's Kenny Robertson. It was during a kickoff drill, too. So Wilkerson, I guess, you know, once he got hit, he was laying crumpled on the ground, obviously injured. And I guess Robinson stood over him and the Patriots players got pissed. That's fight number one. One play later, Dietrich Wise Jr. crushed Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey jumped up, threw the ball at Juwan Bentley, and then a Donnybrook. And then, of course, you've heard
Here comes another fight, another
Jesus
major
Christmas.
Fight.
Okay. And then rolled over to the Carolina sideline and fell into the stands where a woman was hit in the foot by Dietrich Wise's helmet. She refused medical attention, thank goodness, but she was offered tickets to a home game. They wanted to make sure her foot was okay.
And make sure that she's bored.
Well, I mean, because she was the one that was there. There was even a report by our own Scott Zolak that after the second fight, Robert Kraft felt compelled to join Bill Belichick in the huddle. I don't know. Often that happens, but maybe he was just like, hey, man, everything cool? And you know things are going...
He's, hey, man, it's cool. Do you need me to bring in Spike and Lester? Boom, 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 boom. Do you need me to bring in the boys to straighten things out?
Do a little singing by the fire, possibly?
I can bring in the demons, you know, my gang. We might be a little bit older, but we can still rumble.
Sorry, I did not. Dan, I did not.
Chains, bitch. Chains are allowed. No guns.
So you know things are going sideways when you've truly pissed off one of the nicest humans on the planet. Here is a an angry Matt Slater.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got a teammate down on the field who's now being medically evaluated off-site. I mean, that's cause for concern. And I mean, we're not going to sit here and celebrate those type of plays. It's that's not how you do it.
By the way, his voice changes when he's mad. He doesn't sound like the guy in the lab. He doesn't sound like the Bunsen burner guy.
I've had it up to here. I'll tell you that much.
That's the most normal I've heard Matt Slater sound.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got me steamed.
Is that right?
Yeah, they got me steamed like when you add nitrous and chlorophyll and everything else and it combusts.
Did you see? I don't know if Dan texted this to you, but he sent me a screen cap.
Yeah, I got it.
The midday show, watching the fight, and it's like all of them standing up with binoculars.
Well, yeah, they're about 200 yards away from it. They're up on that deck, way back. I can imagine why they have the binoculars. Yes,
that's a not the most advantageous, but I understand why they do it because it's probably not super loud, and the background noise isn't insane, and probably easier to broadcast from there. But it's kind of funny that they're sitting there. All three of them holding binoculars doing the play-by-play.
And now here comes another fight, another
Jesus
major
Christmas.
Fight.
Okay, well, thank you, Scott Zolak. But the lift.
Jesus Christmas.
Good googly moogly.
Hachi Machi. Woo!
Great Caesar's ghost.
It's time for these guys to exit stage left already.
That is a Snagglepuss reference? Is that right?
That's impressive.
Snagglepuss, the gayest of all the Hanna-Barbera characters.
Well, the litmus, though, of just how strange the past days have been.
Yeah, let's get to the main event here. You teased it. Let's hear it.
You've reached the ire of Mike Reese, and what he sees does not please Mike Reese.
I've been to a lot of joint practices with the Patriots, with Bill Belichick as the head coach, and I just lead off by saying these have been the most disappointing with the Panthers the last 2 days. After what unfolded Tuesday with multiple player ejections, it was shocking to me to see what unfolded today. More ejections. Patriots didn't like it when Kenny Robinson, defensive back, seemed to be standing over Christian Wilkerson. Some debate if he was sort of taunting him or not, but he got thrown out of practice. Then Dietrich Wise, shortly thereafter, with an over-aggressive hit on Christian McCaffrey, led to a big scrum. Wise was thrown out. Chuba Hubbard of the Panthers, and more Panthers actually should have been thrown out. Should have seen what happened after. They were sort of throwing haymakers. Looked like, to be honest, professional wrestling. Sort of embarrassing.
Oh, my Christ.
I'm interested to, because I don't know. I'm interested to hear people's opinion, to get a consensus, if that's a negative. Like, that they were fighting like that.
Well,
seems to think so.
Yeah, I heard Bedard say that, but a lot of people will write off Bedard as being someone who's been a hater on the team this season.
I don't think that's fair.
I don't think so either, but that's the way that it seemed to be categorized, is that they've just never seen this on a Bill Belichick-coached team, like especially during camp. You don't see this kind of fighting, and although it does sound like everything that it does sound like it's just dirty plays on the Panthers side.
Well, no, not the McCaffrey hit, but guess who defended the Patriots on the McCaffrey hit?
Ooh.
He goes, if I had to tell you one writer defended the Patriots on the McCaffrey hit, who would you guess?
Are you say Alex Barth?
Yeah, it's just the first name.
Oh, no.
Based on what you were talking about.
It's a friend. I would only do this with a friend. It's a friend of ours.
I don't know.
Come on, it's Hurley.
Oh, of course. Hurley's been down on the Patriots this offseason.
No, I know.
He's been crapping on him pretty bad.
All right, I'm just telling you that Hurley thought that it was okay, but no. The McCaffrey one wasn't the Panthers' fault. The McCaffrey one was the Patriots' fault. Yes.
Yeah, the Wilkerson one was retribution for the day before, where he got kicked out of practice. So how much will this help as far as team building is concerned? This is something Zolak brought up later in the show yesterday after he put the binoculars down. That discipline is certainly lacking on this team, but how much of this is the talent level being here and team building needed to kind of give them that extra push to be better and play?
That's why I'm curious if what coach came out and said he did not want any fighting is Dan Campbell.
I saw that. I've been watching some of the Hard Knocks, and it's been good. And it's one of those things too where, you know, as clownish as Dan Campbell, you know, it seems to be in some of the stuff he says, he's making a little bit of sense. He's one of these guys that there was a pretty funny speech that he made. He said the only thing he would not tolerate was during a preseason game, people jacking around when they weren't playing and not being there to support the guys trying to scrap and make the cut. And I'm like, all right, I kind of like that. Like, that was like an all right thing that he did. He goes, everything else, have a great time. Who cares? But he does not like fighting in camp. And I thought that, like, from years of watching Hard Knocks, I thought that was something that was like, yeah, man, these guys are look at how tough they're going to be this year. They're already fighting.
That's what I'm interested just to get kind of a consensus from people that if this is a negative, certainly Reese said so. You tell me Bedard thinks so. I'm just, you know, Barth is going to think it's great. But I just wonder if it's always deemed a negative.
Was the McCaffrey hit dirty? I don't know. I didn't see it. I saw it from a distance, but I can't tell.
All I saw was the scrum afterwards. I never saw the hit itself.
But I mean, you got to figure that it's with that guy's injury history, people are going to be pretty defensive about anything that happens to the guys. So I would imagine it was a big hard hit, and the Panthers are like, all right, this is preseason. You know the guy's injury history. I'm sure if it was their eighth string running back, you know, who wasn't going to make the team, there wouldn't have been a fight.
But the question is now, does Bill Belichick behind closed doors, is he happy at all with the way his team rallied to defend people, themselves and, you know, stick up for themselves?
That's what I'm curious.
I would imagine there's some of that. All things considered, I think Bill's not a dumb guy. He knows he doesn't have it this year. So I'm thinking, okay, at the very least, we have everyone pulling in the same direction.
I wonder, though, if 2 days in a row, he's like, this is great. And then the second day, he's kind of like, all right, you know, get it together. Let's not go crazy here. So
maybe. And I also don't know how weird it is that Robert Kraft felt he needed to step into the huddle. I don't know if that normally happens at camp.
Well, he did. I told you he offered up Bowser and Knuckles to come to fight with the guys.
Of course. I mean,
boom, boom, boom. There was two 80-year-olds in leather jackets that said the demons on the back.
And by the way, I know
cracking their knuckles and hitting their palms.
Is that the guy who pulls up in the convertible with the fire, you know, coming out of the exhaust?
Well, I mean, if you want to say, are you saying they're hot rodding? Yeah, of course, John, they're hot rodding. They're hot rodding to the rumble.
You think they drove up? No, they walked up all snapping.
It's the Sharks and Jets. All right.
Sure. Well, no, he made a call to the diner where they were all in the hot rod eating burgers.
It is funny because now it does seem like it's a...
What if Kraft got pulled over in the fight? You ever been pulled over by a 300-pound lineman?
You like it,
right? You ever have every bone in your body snapped by a 400-pound lineman landed on you?
You're lying. It. Well, it is interesting because now it seems like everybody's got their binoculars out trying to find out who is calling the plays. And according to Burt Breer, the last couple of days, it's been Belichick who was calling, you know, the offensive plays during the hurry up. And I think yesterday it went back to, I think I heard Bedard say that Matt Patricia was doing it. Man, I don't know. This is weird. All I know is that what we've seen since the last game, we've seen Joe Judge, we've seen Matt Patricia, and we've seen Bill Belichick calling plays for the offense. There have been three different voices at three different times installing these plays. So who knows what's going to happen? It almost seems to me like they are going to put it in the hands of Matt Patricia until it fails, and then Bill Belichick is probably going to take over. Didn't he do that with the defense like recently as well? Where like you had the other guys, and then he
I don't know how he's going to do afterwards. It all. I don't know how he's going to do it all because if he calls offensive plays, the defense suffers.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be something that suffers. Special teams, defense, there could be the challenges. I mean, he doesn't have Ernie Adams anymore. I mean, there's so many different parts of being a coach that having to call the offensive side of it, it's going to take away from. So
yeah, who sits up top? I mean, seriously, who's the guy, who's the eye in the sky?
Well, it can't be Judge.
Right, because no. They both have to be down on the field. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, well, Judge certainly has to be down on the field because he's dealing with Jones. So I don't know. The eye in the sky might be the what is the guy's name? The guy they brought in, Evan. I forget his last name, and I don't think the audience cares. But it might be the fourth guy that they have in there besides Belichick and Patricia and Judge. I forget his name, but. That might be the eye in the sky, but if he's calling plays, that's definitely at the detriment of the defense, which we've seen many, many, many times during Patriots games. He huddled with the defense with his back to the field while the offense was out there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Bankroll Boys are they're chomping at the bit to get on. They got things they want to say, and I don't blame them. You know, I don't blame them. And, you know, Robert Kraft is in the guys. After practice, they had to settle down with some malts. And you know. Talking about Eisenhower and everything else.
Eisenhower.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots held another joint practice with Carolina yesterday, and for the second time in as many days, there was a brawl between the two teams. This time, three players were ejected, including the Patriots' Dietrich Wise. Wide receiver Christian Wilkerson was kicked out of practice on Tuesday and was knocked out yesterday after taking a big hit on a kick return. Isaiah Wynn and Hunter Henry did not participate at all. Today's a day off for both teams. They'll play an exhibition game at Gillette Stadium tomorrow night. In Pittsburgh yesterday evening, Rich Hill allowed two runs in five innings, and the Red Sox beat the Pirates 8-3. Alex Verdugo added three hits of his own. He scored three times and reached base five times in this one.
I'm locked in. You know, I'm staying within myself, not trying to do too much. You know, just being on time with the pitcher and just trying to use the big part of the field.
Sox have three wins in a row and five in their last six games. They'll play the Pirates again tonight. Josh Winkowski will get the start instead of Nathan Eovaldi, who has a sore upper back. The NBA announced its schedule yesterday, and for the Celtics, that means a lot of exposure. 37 of their 82 games will be on national TV. LeBron James has signed a two-year, $97.1 million contract extension with the Lakers. And the New England Revolution got goals from Tommy McNamara and Justin Renix, but let a 2-1 lead get away and settled for a 2-2 draw in Toronto last night. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the new all-wheel drive 2023 Honda HR-V. Head to your local Honda dealer to learn more and see our lineup of 2022 rugged vehicles. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 7:30.
Boston's best sports talk is an app for that. Download the Sports Hub app for loads of stuff. Absolutely free. Connect with the shows, get podcasts, and more. Get it where you get your apps. Or at 98.5sportshub.com.
Don't you dare think that we think we're superstars.
Oh, no.
No,
we get kicked
no.
in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub, no!
It's the
Bengals. Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other. Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in his chest.
Oh, it's always exciting times when the Bankroll Boys are in town. Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray, they're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Gentlemen, hello.
What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots held another joint practice with Carolina yesterday, and for the second time in as many days, there was a brawl between the two teams. This time, three players were ejected, including the Patriots' Dietrich Wise. Wide receiver Christian Wilkerson was kicked out of practice on Tuesday and was knocked out yesterday after taking a big hit on a kick return. Isaiah Wynn and Hunter Henry did not participate at all. Today's a day off for both teams. They'll play an exhibition game at Gillette Stadium tomorrow night. In Pittsburgh yesterday evening, Rich Hill allowed two runs in five innings, and the Red Sox beat the Pirates 8-3. Alex Verdugo added three hits of his own. He scored three times and reached base five times in this one.
I'm locked in. You know, I'm staying within myself, not trying to do too much. You know, just being on time with the pitcher and just trying to use the big part of the field.
Sox have three wins in a row and five in their last six games. They'll play the Pirates again tonight. Josh Winkowski will get the start instead of Nathan Eovaldi, who has a sore upper back. The NBA announced its schedule yesterday, and for the Celtics, that means a lot of exposure. 37 of their 82 games will be on national TV. LeBron James has signed a two-year, $97.1 million contract extension with the Lakers. And the New England Revolution got goals from Tommy McNamara and Justin Renix, but let a 2-1 lead get away and settled for a 2-2 draw in Toronto last night. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the new all-wheel drive 2023 Honda HR-V. Head to your local Honda dealer to learn more and see our line, our lineup, rather, of 2022 rugged vehicles. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 7:30.
Boston's best sports talk is an app for that. Download the Sports Hub app for loads of stuff. Absolutely free. Connect with the shows, get podcasts, and more. Get it where you get your apps. Or at 98.5sportshub.com.
Don't you dare think that we think we're superstars.
Oh, no.
No,
we get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub, no!
It's the
Bengals. Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bagamoni.
And the other. Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest.
Oh, it's always exciting times when the Bankroll Boys are in town. Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray, they're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Gentlemen, hello.
What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning to you guys. Everyone's feeling good. You're both in the makeshift studios in Dorchester?
Yep, nice and tight in here.
I think we should set a line on when we actually do move.
Okay, because I would put that line probably the Wednesday after Labor Day.
I said in the studio over there. I said probably right around mid September, early to mid September.
Yeah, our studio looks pretty good, but everything else is like you could tell they started with ours, and it looks like it's almost done. It's almost an exact replica of the one that we're in right now. It's bigger though, which is good. You know, a little more room to breathe.
Yeah, I mean that's a huge. I always like that when they're like, you know, like look at how big the studio is. You're like, well, what do I care about how big the studio is?
Well, speaking of over unders, Rich, I think one man owes me a Kelly's roast beef from Revere.
Oh, is that right?
Taking the under in your big race that you had.
Yes, that's right.
Joe, what was the final finishing time?
It was 2 hours and I think it was like 2 hours and 25 minutes, I believe.
Well, I bet 3 hours. 3 hours was the over. Is that correct, Joe?
That's right.
What was the over-under, Joe? But there was an over-under on when I was going to take a heater at some point and stop and take a dump.
Now, do we go double or nothing on that?
I did not take a dump, but I did stop to pee. So I don't know if it was like it encompassed any kind of body evacuation or if it was just number two.
Well, I have never been repaid at roast beef. Remember, Dan, we were at that Marlboro event for the station, and I challenged five people that the Warriors would beat the Celtics. Five people lost. I never saw a roast beef since then.
You got to get paid in beef sometimes. By the way, just a quick note because you mentioned it. We had a couple last-minute donations go through, and we're now over $30,000.
Holy smokes.
Wow. Congratulations.
Over $30,000 for the pan mass. So thanks to that. A couple of big rollers came in at the last minute. But no. So this is a situation, Joe, where it looks like you guys right now, it almost looks like the studio is crumbling behind you. Like behind Lifshatz's head. Like you're sitting in a wasteland, essentially, where I got to think it's fairly depressing being at the Dorchester location right now.
You know, we're here.
As opposed to normally, when it's such a joy to pull up there.
You guys have been at many radios. Like, when I tell you the places I've worked,
I worked in Cumming, Georgia, where I had to turn the radio station off when I was gone.
We had a power down on one of our stations at 6 o'clock.
Not power down. I powered down, but then I had to shut it off.
But, like, I've been somewhere before where there's just been a computer and a headset. You know what I mean?
So, there was no computer in the station when I worked in Cumming, Georgia. There was no, like, personal computer. There was, like, a monitor that had... You know what? There was no computer in Cumming, Georgia. Everything was carts. and yep. and I played music off of CDs.
So did you put notes on flashcards, right? Thing.
Yeah.
Because when I worked with Troop, that's how he did it. He did all his stuff, didn't use a computer, and did everything on a flashcard.
I didn't write much down. I mean, I didn't have, like, there weren't a lot of ads.
What about hot takes?
That's true.
I never write anything down for the show. No, I don't write. I don't write anything down. I improvise, Joe. Good thing I do.
Well, speaking of improvising, I think we should look back at the Orange Line conversation we had. I think that was foreshadowing that day, because this thing's gone to hell. Tomorrow, yeah, it's closed for a whole month.
Yeah, you. No one argued with you about the Orange Line. The argument was Amtrak.
It doesn't matter. It's the train. I told you I had PTSD from the Orange Line.
Here we go.
And here we are. Like, they're getting rid of the blue bikes this weekend. How's anybody going to get around this town?
Oh, I thought they were, like, offering the blue bikes for free.
Well, they are offering the blue bikes for free.
Yeah, but not on Friday or whatever.
And by the way, like, thanks a lot. Like I can, like ride a bike instead of, like, using a motorized transportation.
Hey, look,
like,
Fred, it's probably better than waiting for those shuttle buses that'll never come. Look at it that way.
I just think it's so funny. Like, here's a bike. Oh, great. Like, I can bike 10 miles, like, in traffic. Like, thanks a lot. I don't want to do that.
Well, what's great is that when they tried to get, you know, alternative transportation for these shutdown D stations, they just kind of, oops, forgot two of the biggest, most busy stations that are near where I live. Like, we forgot
right.
to have
China,
a bus.
That's right. I can't wait for Chinatown. Those buses are going to go right up there. They'll all be built like four of them.
Did you
waiting.
See that last night? Yeah. They had a big meeting being like, we can't shut this down.
Everyone's pissed. They're like how do you forget the two, like, busiest stations that you have here? You just forgot to have any kind of transportation for them? And people were getting angry in six languages last night. It was just chaos. Yeah, I mean, dude, the next month is going to be nuts. And what's great, too, is that at least nobody's sugarcoating it, because if you do, you look like an a-hole. Everyone's like, it's going to be bad. Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. Even people in charge are like, oh, yeah, it's going to be really, 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 really bad. Oh, yeah, yeah. Just get ready.
On a positive note, Rich was in Everett. And he asked two people for advice on where to go.
Yep.
And were you on board, Joe, with the recommendation that Bird made for him?
Well, I'm a little bit different, Everett. I would probably send you the casino or, you know, somewhere else, the Blossies, you know, maybe. But I heard that the fingers were legit.
The soul fingers?
Soul fingers.
Now, why were they? I don't think you ever gave me a real answer. I think you made a joke. But why are they soul fingers, Rich? If you don't know, Rich.
I don't know. It had some sauce on it, and I guess the soul is the sauce?
Is it like a barbecue, like a buffalo sauce?
No, and maybe soul, because no, it tasted like a sweet and sour, so maybe it was like S-E-O-U-L, as in Seoul,
oh.
Korea.
Oh,
but okay. But the way it was texted to me was S-O-U-L by Bird, and yeah, I just said the words. I didn't see it on the menu. I said, apparently there's soul fingers.
Yeah, Bird's an autocorrect guy. Like, he's not. If the phone's going to just spell the word out for him, he's not going to ask questions.
Right. So,
and then there was pasta with ham. And
yeah, it was. I got chicken marsala, but there was chopped pieces of ham on top of it too, which is just bonus. I had no problem with the ham. It was just kind of not expected, but extra. It was cool.
This is the most goyish food of all time. It was like out of the Betty Crocker cookbook.
It was so much food and so much brown. Now, the brown is my fault. I ordered pasta and chicken fingers. What should I expect? But, I mean, they loaded me up. And the people were super nice. It was just when I walked in, like, if I could have imagined a sitcom that starred Bird in a place where Bird hangs out, this would have been the place. Just the busiest Keno machine in the city.
Did you name drop at all?
I didn't, but I will, because I like the place. It was 810. It was the 810 Bar and Grill, I believe, right there in downtown Everett.
Well, said, I think when he said, did you name drop, were you going to drop Bird's name?
Yeah. Oh, no. Even though he said that they love the Bird family. They love the Marchands there. And I didn't. No, I was like the phantom gourmet. Just showed up, waited out. And, you'll never know,
Joe,
it's me.
Joe, you've ate there before?
I've never been there, no.
Oh. No, hang on. You've never been there.
Yeah, no offense to downtown Everett, but I'm going to go around the area. You know what I mean?
I see. No offense, though. I'm not staying on Route 99. I'm going off. I'm not messing with that area.
A weird place, dude. You get off Route 1, you're in you're in Melrose, then you're in Malden all of a sudden. You're in three different towns. Just the second you get off Route 1 where that little dinosaur is, you're in three different towns. I don't know.
Yeah, I used to live up there. I know where that is. Sure.
I got a great dispensary over there, though.
So you just avoid downtown? He goes right to the Town Line Lounge is where he goes.
Yeah, they call that Club Rain. Oh, no, Club 365 or something now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've been there. It's a bad place.
All right. I thought it was fine. I mean, I went in there and the food was fine. I thought that would have been a place that you would find, you know, right at home. But Bird, apparently, that's where he has that's his kitchen. That's where he goes for half of his meals, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, that was just a matter of convenience. Bird, I think that was a lazy pick by Bird. And Joe couldn't have been bothered, so I guess.
I got to it late, but I probably would have sent you to Newbridge and Chelsea. You know, because you were in Everett, I would have just taken you a little bit further outside of Chelsea.
Yeah, I did text a picture of the Soul Fingers to Joe, and he goes, looks good.
They did.
And they were enjoyable.
Are you still not eating bread, Joe?
Still not eating bread. I lost a pound, 1.4 pounds since last week.
Oh,
so I was there. I was plateauing for a little bit, and then we had a little bit of a weight loss.
All right.
So 57 in total. I don't know where we're going to stop, but we're not stopping right now.
there's no point in John getting you the beef.
I can't pay up in beefs if you're not going to eat them.
Well, I would, I would take the bread off.
But that
defeats the purpose of the bread.
The bread's the best part.
If John's going to take me out for a beef on Revere Beach, I'm eating the beef. Let's do it.
All right. All right.
I'm in.
All right.
You want to come, Dan?
Nah, I'm all set. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Nothing personal. Nothing personal. I'm trying to eat better too. And if I do that, I'm going to go back and eat the whole beef as well.
We had a little Cape Cod date. I met Dan down in Hyannis a couple of weeks ago. We had
Did you go to Spanky's? Did you go to Spanky's Clam Shack down there?
No, we went to Torino.
It was very nice.
You're classy. You went on Torino. You didn't go Black Cat. Come on, you got to go to Spanky's if you really want to live a little.
Yeah, I should probably share this story. But
I saw that place.
When I was down the Cape, I was recommended to go to this sub shop. So, and they were like, you got to come. I'm like, all right, cool. So I go in and I wanted their meatballs. Problem is, I'm not eating bread. So I go, can I get a meatball sub on a wrap? I know, right? Sounds unheard of. Who does it? Whatever.
Why does that sound like the most disgusting looking thing to watch
somebody
eat?
Doesn't matter. Just put the meatballs in a wrap. All right? They wouldn't serve it to me. They were like, we're not doing that, sir.
Huh.
Because they probably would have broken through. But they were just like adamant, we're not doing that.
You should have slid him an extra George Washington and said, will this make you change your mind?
They were like, you can just get meatballs on the side. I go, no. I want it in a wrap.
So why didn't you ask for a tortilla and then the meatballs on the side? You could have made your own wrap.
Wasn't that handy at the time.
All right.
I'm a wicked grab and go guy.
I was stoned.
Dude, if I was stoned, I would have sliced the meatball up, put more cheese on it, parmesaned it up. If I was stoned, it would have been much better. And I'm one of those guys, when they're stoned, they really take their time. You know, like the Celeste pizzas back in the day? Everyone always put them in the oven. I couldn't wait that long.
Oh, you'd microwave them?
Microwave. Oh, yeah.
That ruins the whole point of the Celeste pizza. Celeste pizza is the crust.
But now that I've gotten older a little bit, now I wait it out.
Wiser. Yes.
I wait it out now.
See? Wow.
Right then?
You put the Celeste pizza in there.
Just bring those chats in now. That's perfect.
I'm staying out of the food. I'm staying out of the food too. I got nothing on Joe.
So now you go. Now I want a Tostino's pizza.
Yeah.
Those were that crust on a Tostino's pizza is all right if you put it in the oven. You have to have patience, though.
Star Market used to have those like $1.25, $1.25, and they were like just cheese, and they weren't that big, but you stick those suckers in the oven for I think 11 minutes, and that was lunch, man. That was awesome.
Cheese, I don't like cheese pizza. It's missing something.
Well, you don't like cheese.
Well, no, no. I'll eat cheese on a pizza. I'll eat nachos. Mm. I'll eat queso.
What about like fries that are like drenched in cheese?
Like cheese fries? They're awesome, but I can't eat them because
poutine?
Poutine's disgusting. No.
All that stuff in Montreal grosses me out.
Poutine's it's gravy on fries.
It's not good gravy though. It's not the same.
No, it's cheese curds.
Yeah, it's not good. And listen, I wanted to like it because it sounds like it would be awesome. And then you eat it and you're like, this is gross.
If you want to talk about brown, like, I mean, everything is brown in Montreal. Like, everything's covered. You're right. It is covered in gravy or cheese curds. It's disgusting.
Yeah, love it. Good.
Love that.
Yeah.
Dip it all around.
Do you eat biscuits and gravy?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so biscuits and gravy and poutine are one of the few foods that I just can't anymore get myself to eat because I would put a fork in it and go, I know this is the moment I say to myself, I've given up on what I feel like and what I look like. Like, this is like the moment I'm going downhill physically because it's just, that might be, what, 2,000 calories in
that's
one
fine.
Thing of biscuits and gravy? Like,
no,
2,000. Really?
Oh, yeah.
See,
I can eat that, no problem.
I can convince myself eat a lot of stuff that's bad for me. Biscuits and gravy is just, I quit.
I thought you eat whatever you want for dinner.
I do, but not biscuits and gravy. Like, that's insane. Like, even that, as I said, anything other than that and, like, poutine, you look at it and just go, this is where I know I've given up.
Not every day, but, I mean, what's wrong with that? You indulge once in a while. That makes all the other eating right stuff possible.
But it's not tasty enough to indulge on that. Like, I'm going to indulge, I'm going to do, like a big thing of ice cream or something like that.
See, I don't think you've lived until you've gotten a rotisserie chicken from the supermarket.
Like, I love rotisserie. Dude, I do that all the time.
Yeah, but like when you eat the whole thing, though, it doesn't make you feel good after.
Joe, I ate a whole rotisserie chicken less than a week ago.
Nice!
How'd you go?
There's a place called Shybird that I might order twice a week on Uber Eats, and usually I get the half chicken. I get the same thing, half chicken, Caesar salad. This time I was like, dude, I'm hungry, and I got a whole chicken, and I was shocked at how easy it was for me to eat that entire thing.
Oh, that's not bad for you.
Yeah, but they're the transfer, whatever it is, something in there puts me to sleep. And then it's not. I know. Usually, we'd think it would be a turkey that would do that, but no. I eat that thing, and I'm cooked. I'm like, I'm done for the day. Oh, I love myself.
That's not bad for you. A rotisserie chicken.
No, it's not that bad. It's just it's a lot of food.
Oh yeah. Man. Then you gotta get the sides too. You know. Then what do you get? You get mashed potatoes. Do you get? A lot of sides you got to choose from.
Have you had mashed potatoes recently, Joe?
No, I haven't. I haven't had many. I had sweet potato tots one night.
Oh, there you go. That's good. That's good. Had those.
All right.
Recently, very nice.
But you're avoiding starches.
No, I'm just anything that I think I will eat a lot of, I'm not eating.
And you haven't had pizza since we last talked.
Still have not had pizza since May.
Wow. Yeah. Very impressive.
I thought about going to Connecticut and just hitting up all the joints, Sally's and Frank Pepe's, having myself a day.
No reason. Just drive to Connecticut for this?
Yeah, just fall off the wagon with pizza all over me.
You're going to find you like in a place that's like closed at 6 in the morning, passed out the window, your face covered in sauce.
Get in the car from the North Shore, drive all the way to Connecticut to eat pizza. Wow.
Well, I told you.
Yes, I would, actually.
Bets and pies.
I had a friend that used to live in Framingham. And my family would go over to his house, and I would, like, you know, get drunk over there. And they had a KFC Taco Bell right across the street from him.
Oh, man.
And I would get, like, a bucket of chicken because I would go, like, I'm a rich man. Like, because if you go in there, like, you can, like, buy as much food as you want. Like, it's, like, you know, no money. And so I would, like, order, like, way too much food. And then I would sit in the car and, like, eat the chicken and throw the bones out the window. And then I would wake up in the morning, like, covered in, like, KFC grease and, like, All right. That's a good way to feel good about yourself.
It's almost rock bottom.
We were sniffing around there. All right. We will be back. We'll actually talk about sports with the Bankroll Boys in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.